The book of Nehemiah is a great study. It is a study on leadership. You know, leadership is vital. Amen? Without leadership, nothing, absolutely nothing gets done in the home, in the church, in our nation, in the family.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, we begin airing Pastor Bill's study from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah is a great study on leadership, and we hope you'll take this opportunity to journey through Nehemiah along with Pastor Bill. Now, let's join Pastor as he begins Nehemiah with the message, "For I was the king's cupbearer."
Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, right after Ezra. And we're going to study Nehemiah through the summer, if you will. Remember that there in Nehemiah, or I should say in Ezra, the children of Israel, they had been exiled into Babylon, and the 70 years of Babylon are now over. Israel had returned to the land. We just finished the book of Ezra not too long ago, and we studied it out. And of course, Zerubbabel brought the first bunch of people back, and the purpose of them coming back was to rebuild the temple. And of course, they did that, the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed, leveled to the ground. And then about 60 years later, as we found out in the book of Ezra that we just finished, that Ezra came with a second group of the exiles and brought them back as well. And when they were brought back, right after him, now comes the third and final group under Nehemiah. Now, the book of Nehemiah is a great study. It is a study on leadership. I pray that everyone's heart is open to this. You know, leadership is vital. Amen? Without leadership, nothing, absolutely nothing gets done in the home, in the church, in our nation, in the family. And boy, do we need leaders today, people that will step up and do what is right and know how to do what is right. Amen? So the laws of leadership, nothing happens until someone provides leadership for it. Nehemiah, his name means the Lord comforts. And in verse 11, it tells us what he did there. He said, and he says, "For I was the king's cupbearer." Matter of fact, that is the title of tonight's message, "For I was the king's cupbearer." And that was an incredible position of honor. And it was more than just basically taster of wine and the taster of the food to make sure that the king wasn't going to be poisoned. Wouldn't you like to have that job? Let me, you know, he might not live very long, right? And but that's what he did. It was a position of honor because only a person who was very dependable and trustworthy could hold that. So he was in charge of that area, and he was privy to a lot of the things that the king was doing. So the temple now in Nehemiah, the temple has been rebuilt, but unfortunately, the walls around the temple, it has not been built. So the first seven chapters tonight, of course, we're only going to cover 11 verses, but the first seven chapters have to do with the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. The remaining chapters have to do with revival and reform that Nehemiah brings. So remember this from our study in Ezra. Zerubbabel was a prince, or literally a governor of the land. And then Ezra, who was there with him, who brought back the group of exiles, he was a priest, and the scribe of scribes, he was called. An incredible man of God. He loved God's word, and he loved God's people. Now, both of those people, as highly respected and honorable, and how much they loved the Lord, they could not, or they failed when they were at Jerusalem, when they rebuilt the temple, they failed to rebuild the wall. And it was very important to have a wall around the city. And but Nehemiah did what those two people failed to do. And Nehemiah wasn't a priest. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't an evangelist. He was just a simple person like you and me, okay? He was a lover of God. He was the cupbearer to the king. He was simply a wine taster, if we could put it in that order. But there was one more thing that he was, as we're going to find out. Nehemiah was an incredible leader, and an incredible leader for God, beginning in verse 1. It says, in the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Cheslev, now that would be middle November, middle December, it would be 444 BC, in the 20th year, and may I add the scripture, it's the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes is what that 20th year means, the same king that sent Ezra into Jerusalem. He says, I was in Shushan, the citadel. So that's the winter palace of the king of Persia here. And it's about 150 miles north of the Persian Gulf, and it's what we call today modern Iran. And it says, and then Hananiah, one of my brethren, or literally Nehemiah's brother, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and who had survived the captivity and concerning Jerusalem, so the people and the city, and they said to me, the survivors or that remnant who were left from the captivity in the province are there, they are in what? Great distress. If you look that word up in Hebrew, it means tremendous misery and calamity, and also reproach. And look at the reason. It says, the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates, and the gates were these huge, gigantic wooden doors, if you will. It says, they're burned with fire. So there was so much rubbish in Jerusalem. See, it was 140 years earlier, remember, 586 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar leveled Jerusalem, leveled the temple, just destroyed everything. And so this is simply the remains. All the gates are burned. The stone walls have been torn down. And the only thing now that's there is the rebuilt temple, okay? So it says, Nehemiah goes and he says to his brother and all his buddies, and he just simply puts it this way, how's everything going at home? Now, I don't know that he had ever even seen Jerusalem. And they replied to him and said, well, their things are not going very well. There's horrible calamity. Everybody's in distress. And we, the city and all the people, we're a reproach to everyone that's around. And the reason for that was because of the walls and gates. You see, at that time, in that period of history, if you had a city or you were in a city that did not have walls and gates which locked where you could go in and out but you were secure, it was like a reproach. You're not worthy. You can't even protect your own self. So they were wide open to attack, and they were looked down upon as a people, if you will. So the walls were for protection. If you study out the history, the kind of walls that they built back then, it would take anywhere from 2, maybe even 6 months if an enemy attacked to literally tear down the walls during the fighting, that is, to gain entrance into the city. So Nehemiah, he cared. He cared about his home, Jerusalem, but he also cared about his people. You know, the Bible says about Jerusalem in Psalm 137:5. It says this, the psalmist says, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above as my chief joy. Boy, that'd be a lesson for us tonight, wouldn't it? We have a new Jerusalem, don't we? We have a place that we're going to. Now, I want you to look at Nehemiah's reaction. Watch this now in verse 4. You know, he said, you know, he didn't say, hey, well, man, that's really sad. That's some just horrible news. Guys, I'm going to put everybody there, the remnant, I'm going to put them on my prayer list, and good luck, I hope everything works out. He didn't do that at all. Look what he did. And so it was when I heard these words that he blamed all the people. He didn't do that. He blamed all the people, and he said, listen, my goodness, you've had all this time, and the wall is not built. What's wrong with you? He didn't do that. He said, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for many days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You know, I tell you what I love about Nehemiah. You know, his heart is so true and so real. He says, when I heard these words, you know, he didn't start blaming anybody. He didn't say, you know what, I'm only one man, what can I do about it? He didn't say, you know, I am the, do you not know my position, my responsibility? I work for the king, I'm his cupbearer. Man, I am overwhelmed, I don't have time to do anything at all. That's not what he said he did. You know, he said, listen, my heart is breaking. On those words, he said, I wept and sat down and I wept many days. There comes a time, and I tell you, I believe it is now, and it's not happening. Or maybe it's happening with some of us, I don't know. But I don't feel that it is, and that is when our talk needs to stop and we need to translate the way we truly feel into the tears before God. Amen? And that's exactly what he did. Now listen to me. Please don't miss this. We're talking about leadership tonight, and we're going to talk about prayer, many other things. But when your heart becomes burdened, like Nehemiah's, when your heart is burdened, number one, please don't do this. Don't just shrug it off. I don't know why I'm burdened, you know, or whatever. Don't shrug it off. Don't do that at all. Listen, loved one, I'll tell you something. You need to find out if the burden that's in your heart, is that something that God has placed there? Does that make sense? Because if you don't, you may miss out on what God wants you to do or what God wants you to pray about. You see, when there's a true burden that's on your heart and it comes from the Lord, you're burdened. But it's okay to be burdened, amen? Burdened for others, where you pray and you weep or whatever you do. Listen, I look at that and I say, oh Lord, that's how ministries are birthed or missions are birthed and so forth, is when God places a burden upon a brother or a sister's heart. You know, the rebuilding of the walls, these seven chapters that we're going to cover about the building of the walls. Listen, before the walls were ever built, the burden came first. Does that make sense? See, and that's how it would have never happened. The first stone that wasn't even thought about. That wasn't when it began. It began when God placed a burden upon this man's heart. Leadership. Listen carefully. Are you a leader? You should be. Leaders pray. You can't get around it. Leaders have to pray. And how long do you think Nehemiah prayed? The Bible tells us right here. In verse 1, he started praying. It says in Cheslev. That's December, okay? When we get to chapter 2, verse 1, it says that he stopped praying, and it was the month of April, okay? So how long had he been praying? 4 months. Can you imagine that? He had been praying 4 long months before the Lord. The Bible says, remember what Jesus said in Luke 18, 1? He said, men ought always to pray and not faint or not lose heart, not be discouraged. In other words, don't give up until the answer comes. Amen? And that's exactly the kind of man he was. He was praying without ceasing. And now listen carefully. Nehemiah, he had to wait to hear God. He had to wait to receive the word from God. Don't ever rush prayer. Don't be say, okay, I've prayed and that's it. I don't know why, I'm not hearing from God. No, listen to me. You can't learn prayer about prayer except by praying. Did you know that? You can have all the doctrinal elements of prayer in your mind, but you'll never learn about prayer until you start praying. How to pray, when to be silent before the Lord, knowing in your heart when you have to wait for the Lord. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. 4 months he waited. The great old Alan Redpath, who's now gone home to be with the Lord, great man of God, he said this. He says, there's too much working before men and too little waiting before God. That is a true word. Now, what does that tell us about prayer and a leader's prayer, or anyone's prayer? Listen, it tells me this. There was no shortcut then, and there's no shortcut today. Does that make sense? You're just going to have to pray. You see, Nehemiah did something about the issue at hand with the people in Jerusalem and the walls and so forth. He did the most important thing that he could do. He got down on his knees. Actually, he crumbled to the ground. It says he sat down. He was overwhelmed. And he began to pray. You've heard me say it. I've said it so often, I think I coined the phrase, but I didn't. Prayer is the work. Amen? He goes before the living God of heaven who knows all things. The Bible says in James 4:2, you have not, because you ask not. And if you look down at verse 6, I believe it is, tell me how long or how he prayed. Does it say he prayed day and night? Yes, he was in constant prayer. He was going before the Lord. I'm talking about consistent prayer. Now, it doesn't mean that he prayed all day long, but he did pray all during the day, and he did pray during the night. He probably stayed up many, many nights just like the Lord Jesus did, and he prayed all night for this. The Bible tells us in James 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or has much power. Amen? That boiling over prayer. And that's how he was praying. Listen, Jesus gave us, the church, the Christian, he gave us a promise about prayer. Remember in Luke's gospel, he said this in Luke 11:9. He says, so I say to you, ask, you know it very well as I do, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened unto you. For everyone, meaning believers, everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. As you already know, those tenses there are keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. In other words, that persistent, passionate prayer is what the Lord is teaching us here. Never, never give up until the answer comes. Now, here's the question, though. Do you really believe Jesus' promise? See, he promised right here. He says, you know what? If you ask, it will be given. That's a promise from the lips of our Lord. If you ask, it'll be given. Of course, we have to pray according to his will. You know that. But it says, if you knock, you know what? He says, I promise I'm going to open the door. See, prayer does something. Prayer keeps us in the throne room. It keeps us before God. That's a storehouse for us. That's where everything we need is. All the power, all the wisdom, everything in our life is right there. The provisions there, all it has to do is be manifested into the natural realm. Now look at Nehemiah verse 5. And I said, I pray, O Lord God of heaven. In other words, he's saying, Lord, you're sovereign. You see that word Lord that he used? That's covenant talk. He's calling on the God who is in covenant relationship with Israel. And he says, oh, I pray, Lord God of heaven, oh, great and awesome God. In other words, you are all powerful. You are all majestic. There's no one like you. You who keep covenant. You who keep. That means he is the faithful God. He can do anything. Nothing is too hard for God. Amen? He says, you who keep covenant, and he uses another word, mercy. That's hesed in the Hebrew. It means the covenant of love, if you will. He says, you who keep those things for with those who love you and observe your commandments. You know what I love about Nehemiah? Listen, when he used those two words there, your covenant and mercy, you know what he was doing? He was calling on the God who made those promises to now keep the promises that he made because he knew, as we know, that God can't lie. Amen? He's praying that. Listen, when you pray, do you pray and say, Lord, you said this? This is what your word says. I'm banking my life upon your word, Lord. I can build my life upon the integrity of your word. What's the word for 2018? God says in his word, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. Prove me, not tomorrow, not next week. Prove me now, right this minute, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing upon you that you cannot even contain. Listen, do you believe that? Do you really believe the promise of God? And you say, well, Bill, Malachi 3:10 that you're quoting from is about tithes and offerings. Yes, it is, but that's not the theme of Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10, the theme is the faithfulness of God. He says, I'm faithful. Test me now. If you really love me, if you really believe in me, prove me now. Put me to the test. Put my word to the test. And you can't put God's word to the test unless you believe it and step out and do it. Amen? It's an impossibility. And here he says, oh, Lord, man, Nehemiah, his prayer was based, as we have already learned how to pray, on the promises of God. What did Jesus tell you in John 15:7? He says, if you abide in me, you're in union with God, Jesus. If you live in me, draw strength in me, you're in union with me. He says, and my word dwells in you, lives in you. You shall ask whatever you desire, and it will be granted unto you. But see, the key is to have the Word of God, not just anything flippantly thrown out there. Do you understand? The Word of God, where you pray the Word of God, because the Word of God is the will of God, and it's also you find the promises of God. Well, man, if you pray what God promised, how can we go wrong? Amen? And that's exactly what we need to do. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, anything according to His what? Will. Anything according to His will. Here's the will of God, okay? If we ask anything according to the will of God, He hears us. We can have confidence that He has answered the petitions that we've asked for. See, that's how you pray in faith. You know the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. That's what leaders do. That's what Nehemiah was doing. When you know God's Word, you can pray effectively. You know, someone said this, and I forgot who it was, but he said this, correct theology inspires bold petition. Nehemiah knew his God was great. He therefore was not afraid to make of Him a bold request. Doesn't the Bible say for us to come boldly to the throne of grace? Yes, with confidence, knowing that God, He loves us. He wants us to come there. The word come is an invitation. Come on and appropriate by faith the promises that I've laid up for you, because they all belong to you. Now listen, never make prayer your last resort. Never. You make prayer your first resort. Amen? Oh, that is so, so important. Before you do anything for God, before you step out, loved one, the starting point is prayer. Someone said this. He said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you pray. Prayer is the work, and it will always be the work. You can't pray in the flesh. You have to pray with the Spirit. Amen? Now, Nehemiah's prayer, this great man of God, he moves now into the confession for his people and for himself, and he talks about the things of the past in this great prayer of his. Look at verse 6. He says, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, and here comes those words, night and day. Or day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we, past tense, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. What a great leader Nehemiah is. Listen to me. Nehemiah said, we've sinned. He didn't say Israel sinned. He said, we've sinned. He includes himself in. And that's what makes a great leader. When, you know what? He identified with the people of God. And we must identify with the body of Christ. When a brother or sister's in trouble and they sin, listen, we need to help them and love them and support them and get them out of it. Amen? That's what it's all about, loved one. Listen, we're one body. We're all connected. Like Paul said, if one member suffers, we all suffer together with him. Now listen, do you think that maybe the church today needs to pray like Nehemiah? And what, Lord, we come before you. And this, of course, is a private prayer. It's not public. But he says, we've sinned. Lord, we've just sinned. We've sinned against you. We've blown it. What if we stood here today and said, you know what, Lord? We've just sinned. We've lied. We've cut each other up. We've spoken evil things. We've committed this sin and that sin. What do you think God would do? I tell you what he would do. He would say, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come together and let's talk about, come and confess and talk about your sin. You know what? He said, you just come right now, and though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Amen. That's what the Lord does. Now look at verse 7. He says, we've acted very corruptly against you, and we haven't kept your commandments, we haven't kept your statutes, we haven't kept your ordinances, which you've commanded your servant Moses. And he says, now remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Now, he's quoting from Leviticus and also from Deuteronomy, okay? In other words, in the prayer, because he knows God's word. It says, if you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, Though some of you were cast out of the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I've chosen as a dwelling for my name.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow for the conclusion of today's message. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.